Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast at 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television. It's called The Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll find these radio programs that are on there. Also, a TV program is there that can be downloaded, and a host of other things that can help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times of our Bible study and worship periods at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all of those services. You will always be warmly received. We're looking at an overview in the Bible. We've completed the Old Testament, and we are hastening towards the conclusion of the New Testament. Today, we're going to look at the first chapter in the book of 2 Peter. We see in the second book of Peter that the theme has to do with our relationship as Christians. In verse 2, it says, "To those who have obtained like precious faith with us, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, and His divine power that has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." We see that by the divine power of the Son of God, that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that we know and need to know in order to please God in this life, and those things that pertain to godliness in living the life that's pleasing to God, has been given to us by God and can be understood by gaining the knowledge of Him by doing the things that He calls upon us to do in His Word. We see in verse 4, "By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You see, we've been given great and exceeding and precious promises, things that we can count on, things that we do not have to worry or be concerned about, because they are promises made by God. And we have become partakers of His divine nature because of the things that He blesses us with in our life. Beginning in verse 5 through 11, we have what's commonly referred to as the Christian graces. These are things that we are to add to our faith in order that we might be more perfect in our service to God, and that we might grow in our understanding and responsibilities that God has given us as His children. There are many in the world that teach the concept that once a man's saved, that it's all done by God, there's nothing more that he needs to do. Verses like these would dissuade that conclusion, that there is more work to do after we obey the gospel of Christ. We'll begin reading in verse 5 of chapter 1. "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. If these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his own sin. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I want you to notice that there's things that we're to add to our faith. And we're to do this with all diligence. We're to give a maximum effort in adding these things to our faith. Virtue, that is our moral character. Knowledge, our knowledge of God's Word. Self-control, to be able to control our emotions, our appetites, to make sure that they are submitted under God's rule. Self-control, we'll be able to self-control our actions, and perseverance. That means that we keep on keeping on. We don't give up. We don't throw in the proverbial towel. And we need to add to that godliness. We need to add a godly character. And we can read that in, we studied previously in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. To godliness, we need to add brotherly kindness. There ought to be a generally brotherly kindness that exists between brethren because we are the family of God. We also are to have love. Love encompasses a lot of different things. We are to have a love for God, a love for His Son, a love for the truth, a love for the souls of men and women lost in sin, and a love for one another. And this love is to be part of the character that we are to build upon as God's children. And in verses 8 it says, if these things are yours and abound, that means if they're multiplying, if we're adding them to our faith, we will neither be barren nor unfruitful. We will be productive in our service to God. We will be understanding of our knowledge in Christ will increase. But if we fail to add these things to our faith, we fail to add these characteristics to our lives, then we have become short-sighted, and we have been forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sin. And we are to make our calling and election sure. Why? This is God's security plan. If you add these things to your faith, if you perfect them, if you grow into them, and if you practice them on a continual basis, we will never stumble. This is God's promise that if we add these things to our faith and our character, that we will be successful in our lives as Christians. And when we do that, an entrance will be supplied to the abundant everlasting kingdom. If we want to ever see the portals of heaven, if we ever want to be around the throne of God, we're going to have to develop this type of character in our lives in order to please our Creator and our Savior. In verse 12, Peter reminds him why he's writing. For this reason, I will not be neglectful to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that surely I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me. Now, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, Peter wanted them to know that he was not going to be negligent to remind them of the things that they had already known. He was going to remind them of the truth that they had obeyed and what their responsibility was to that truth. And he's going to stir them up. He's going to provoke them in order to maintain their faithfulness to God and the relationship to Christ. And he understands that in a short period of time that he's going to die. And we could go back to John 21, and we could see that Jesus told Peter the time would come in his life when he would die and he would go where he did not want to go, but where men would lead him. Secular history tells us that Peter was crucified for his faith in Christ, but he was so concerned that he was not worthy to be crucified like his Savior, that he desired and commanded that they crucify him upside down. And that was done in order that he might not be crucified in the same manner of his Lord. And so he wanted to be careful to ensure that they always had a reminder of these things after his death. And we need to continually be reminded of the truths that we obey and what those truths call upon us to do. And we must continually be adding knowledge and understanding to our lives as Christians to be productive and fruitful in our service to God. In verse 16 he says, "For we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Now, the apostles were led by the Holy Spirit, as we've studied previously, as promised by Jesus in his last conversation with them in John 14, 15, and 16. And the Holy Spirit fell upon them in Acts chapter 2 as they began to do their work in the ministry of fulfilling the Great Commission. And he made known to them the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he was an eyewitness. He was an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. He was with him. He spent time with him. He was chosen by the Lord. And so they were witnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Verse 17 has reference to the transformation that took place in Matthew 17 with Peter, James, and John when the Lord was transfigured before them. This was a demonstration that God's Son was now the only spokesperson for God, and if men wanted to be saved, they were going to have to listen to the Son. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. They heard the voice. They heard the voice speak, and they knew that it was God speaking from heaven. And they were told by the Lord to not tell anybody about this until after his resurrection. And indeed, of course, writing the book of 2 Peter would be long after the resurrection of Christ. Now, the last few verses of the first chapter of 2 Peter are very important. I want to read them, beginning in verse 19. And so we have a prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, and all prophecy is of scriptures of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now this passage, coupled along with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, emphatically declares that all scripture, Old and New Testament, are given by the inspiration of God. And they said that this prophetic word was confirmed. How was it confirmed? It was confirmed by the miracles and the signs that were done. Read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. We can also know that this word is a light that illuminates men to Christ and to the way of righteousness. And it shines to those who are lost and dying in sin. And we need to understand that no prophecy ever came of private interpretation. That means that when we read the words of Peter, or we're reading the words of Paul in the other books that he wrote, or we're reading the words of John, or of Jeremiah or Isaiah, that we're not reading the words of men, and we're not reading their interpretation of divine things. We're reading the mind of God as it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. And verse 21 assures us of that. No prophecy ever came by the will of man. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided the writers of the Bible in what they recorded. We're not just reading the words of Moses or the words of Daniel or the words of Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Paul or Matthew or Mark or Luke. We're reading the words of God as they were given to men. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. So when one reads the Bible, they are reading the revealed mind of God. We are reading the things that God has revealed to us so we would know how to please him in this life, in order that we might be obedient children, that we might be productive in leading others to Christ, and that they might see Christ living in us and glorify him, Matthew 5 and verse 16. Yes, Peter reminds them that the great, exceeding, and precious promises that God has promised to those that love him and obey him and that walk in his ways. We need to be, as God's children, faithful in all the things that he gives us to do as we walk on this earth in order to lead others to the cross and show them the way that they can have a relationship with Christ. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next Thursday as we continue examining 2 Peter. Come and worship with us today.